G20. The G stands for, gosh, that's a lot of people.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open. Steel City, meet the economic world. Testing an AIDS vaccine, there is big hope. And that text messaging teenager, he or she is retail gold. First, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about a quarter of a percent. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow trading higher, 38 points now at 97.86. Shares in Europe are up less than half a percent, and Asian markets closed mixed today. Leaders from the world's top economies are in Pittsburgh today, the group of 20 meeting to focus on how best to keep the global economy going with all those without all those financial meltdown mistakes. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He's with us live this morning right across the state in Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
So, yeah, you're over there in Philly. All those leaders are in Pittsburgh where PNC is based. What's the word from colleagues about this gathering?
Well, you know, I think all the colleagues I talk to are excited. You know, I lived in Pittsburgh for a number of years, and it is exciting to see Pittsburgh get showcased. I know when I first moved there, everybody thought of it as, you know, a dirty steel city, which it probably has more bankers than steel workers these days.
And can anything of significance come out of this?
You know, I think that's where it gets a little rougher. You know, obviously the focus is going to be on financial reforms, but I think what you're going to see is that unlike some of the urgency we had when at least it seemed like the globe was melting down, now that you've got a recovery, you see the differences in people's opinions, you know, come a little bit more to the surface, and the fact they're not quite as you know, willing to maybe bend on something.
That's where the rubber meets the road, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, Bill, hang on a second, because the White House is going to use this two-day G20 summit to push for new banking and financial regulations and ending fossil fuel subsidies. Reporter Joel Rose has more.
The Obama administration may find the appetite for tougher financial regulations starting to wane as world economies begin to recover.
And the sign of green shoots seem to be weakening the will of many countries to confront this aggressively.
Stephen Schrage is an economist at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He thinks there is some consensus around the idea of requiring banks to have more capital on hand.
I think that's where we're going to see the most progress. In other areas, there are still kind of huge underlying rifts between the United States and the Europeans and others.
The White House will also push to end subsidies for fossil fuels. Steve Kretzmann at the nonprofit Oil Change International says that would encourage a shift toward cleaner energy.
Definitely removing subsidies is a great idea. The question is, what subsidies do you remove first and how do you do it?
So far, Kretzmann says the White House is focused on eliminating subsidies for consumption, which mainly benefit poor countries. Kretzmann says that could make the plan a tough sell to some G20 members. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
So we got word this morning that initial jobless claims fell and the continuing claims also dropped. The job front getting better quickly.
Definitely. You know, it was good news. You know, maybe it's a little bit slower than other recessions or recover from other recessions. But yes, good news.
All right. Bill Stone joining us from Philly this morning. Bill, thanks.
Thanks.
Researchers today are calling it a world first. It's an experimental vaccine that's cut the risk of HIV infection by nearly a third. The trial involved a combination of a couple of vaccines, one American, the other French. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
So tell us more about this study.
Sponsored by the U.S. Army, it cost $100 million to carry out. It involved 16,000 volunteers in Thailand. Half took a placebo, the other half received a sort of vaccine cocktail, a combination of two vaccines which have separately proved ineffective. Together, they apparently cut the rate of HIV infection by a third. Now, not of itself sufficient to make a proper vaccine, but this is the first time in 25 years of research that anything has proved remotely effective as a vaccine against AIDS, so it is being hailed as a breakthrough.
Yeah, and I would imagine, Stephen, there are many questions at this point as to whether it can be produced commercially, right?
Oh, very much so. I spoke to a professor of immunology in London this morning who said that scientifically this is exciting, but at this stage it may only be a vaccine that works against HIV strains prevalent in Thailand, which might limit its relevance elsewhere. And she said, we really don't know enough about how this vaccine actually worked to know whether it is going to lead on to a global vaccine. We'll have to wait till next month for a major meeting in Paris when the full results of this trial will be made public.
So much to explore going forward. Our Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard joining us this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, September 24th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. The government watchdog for the Troubled Asset Relief Program is testifying before a Senate committee later today. As Marketplace's Tamara Keith tells us, he's expected to say there's some money taxpayers will never see again.
Neil Barofsky is the special inspector general for the $700 billion bailout program. In prepared testimony, Barofsky says the Treasury Department has spent about $445 billion of the money on everything from shoring up banks to rescuing GM and Chrysler. He says it is extremely unlikely taxpayers will see a full return on the investment. For instance, he doesn't expect a direct return on the $50 billion Treasury plans to spend to get banks to modify troubled mortgages. Barofsky also complains in his testimony that the Treasury is still not being transparent enough about how the firms receiving bailout funds are spending the money. Treasury could extend the program another year if it can convince Congress it's needed. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Things seem to be looking relatively stable in the world of finance these days, which has everyone, including the Federal Reserve, looking to the future. One big question, though, how are they going to get all that money they pumped into the economy back out again? Marketplace's Amy Scott reports on one key program.
Since the start of this year, the Fed has been propping up the housing market by buying mortgage-backed securities. Yesterday, the Fed said it plans to spend a total of $1.25 trillion on the program. Economist Lou Crandall at Brights and ICAP says all that money has helped keep mortgage rates low.
At a time when other institutions weren't ready to commit money to the mortgage market, the Fed provided a steady, reliable flow of funding.
With the housing market showing some signs of recovery, the Fed says it will slow down the pace of those purchases and be done by the middle of next year. Joseph Bruzuelas is with MoodysEconomy.com.
The Fed's making a calculated bet that the economy has left recession and has entered recovery. It's going to slowly withdraw from financial markets.
Slowly, so that interest rates don't shoot up as soon as the Fed pulls out. But Bruzuelas predicts it will still cost more to take out a home loan. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Solar power is on the docket at a House committee meeting today. Lawmakers are considering policies to increase investment in solar energy. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
States like Vermont, California, and Hawaii are already offering incentives to consumers and businesses to develop solar energy. But Toby Kucher, who follows energy markets, says federal investment is needed to accelerate growth in the industry.
Currently, solar energy is significantly costlier than electricity provided from other sources. So finding ways to bridge that cost gap, it has really been the major stumbling block.
To lower that cost, Kucher says the U.S. needs to offer low-interest loans and tax breaks and invest in new infrastructure for solar power. Arno Harris is the CEO of Recurrent Energy. He says with a growing supply of solar panels and other equipment, now is the time to act.
The U.S. is just sort of getting its policies all harmonized, and we think we're going to start to see a volume of projects here in the U.S. that will, you know, eventually bring the U.S. into a real leadership position.
Today's hearing is part of a larger effort to hammer out a plan to boost renewable energy and cut carbon emissions ahead of global climate negotiations in December. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
New book that looks at the spending habits of Generation Y. It says 10 to 30-year-olds have a lot of buying power. Kit Yarrow is author of Generation Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail. She joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I know you're the one that usually asks all the questions, but can I give it a go today?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. How many text messages do you think the average teen sends and receives every month?
Oh, I'd say maybe 150.
You would be so wrong, Steve. Ugh. It's actually 2,272.
More than 2,000 text messages a month.
Yeah, over 80 a day. Let me ask you another one.
Okay.
Who do you think is more likely to have online friends that they've never met? Teenage boys or girls?
I would say teenage boys.
You're right. I think most people would have thought it was teenage girls.
No, teenage boys are more adventurous. I know that. I was once a teenage boy eons ago, so.
Well, you're right about that, but also it's because teenage boys really, really play a lot of video games, and that's where they meet a lot of those friends.
Okay.
So the point I'm making here is how integrated technology is in Gen Y's life, and that's actually the way that marketers are more effectively reaching them, is going into the land where they live, which is online and through technology.
All right, Kit Yara, you said you were throwing questions at me. I like this game now. What else you got?
All right. Who do you think spends more money on a daily basis? This is excluding mortgages and so on. Adult Gen Yers or baby boomers?
Well, I'd have to say baby boomers.
I would have too. And guess what? The average working teen actually have more discretionary spending power than their parents do.
Why should I care about how these Gen Yers spend their money?
Well, Gen Y is the future. I mean, right now, they're the largest generation. By 2015, they'll have more spending power overall than any other generation. They'd reduce their spending less than other generations during the recession. And they're moving into those years of their life where they're buying their houses, buying cars. You know, half of them are over 20 now. They're 20 to 30, and half are between 10 and 20. So they're really the future. You have to care. There's no way a marketer cannot care about this generation.
Well, Dr. Kit Yara, the author of Gen Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail, we do appreciate you speaking with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Stephen. Thanks for letting me quiz you. It was fun.
You bet. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.